good to see you again here on another Bible study day. And we've got a real good...
Our text today, scripture, comes from... This was probably written by a student or a protege, so to speak, of Isaiah. Those of us who receive Christ as our Savior, we all become a part and are adopted into that family.
And God is going to give you an opportunity to be good, kind, to elevate, to help somebody.
All right, we're going to get right into our lesson today. And we've got a real good lesson. Family, this is Wednesday. This is our Bible study, and we thank God for you today. Thank you for being present. Our lesson for the day is coming from John chapter 17, the Gospel according to St. John chapter 17, verses 14 through 24. Our lesson is entitled Standing in the Gap. Standing in the Gap. John chapter 17, verses 14 through 24. Amen. Let's prepare to get right into this lesson. When you get into John chapter 17, Jesus is giving his final discourse, his final lesson to his disciples. And you know that in regard to this final discourse, this means that he is in the midst of, in chapter 17, what we call the high priestly prayer. This is really the Lord's prayer. This is the Lord's prayer. The Lord Jesus praying for his disciples, and he's also praying for us, and you're going to see that in this particular lesson. His earthly mission was coming to an end or to a climax, and theirs was just beginning. It was getting ready to start for them as they would come to really know what their mission, their call is through Christ Jesus. So let's get right into our lesson for today. John 17, beginning at verse 14, the scripture reads, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus, talking to God, Jesus says to the Father, I have given them thy word. It is now time for these men to stand in the gap. And might I say, men, and as he begins to pray for all of those who are coming after him, men and women, it's time to stand in the gap. Jesus is saying, Lord, I've given them all that I can give them. I've given them your word. I think about our children. When our children grow up and when they get out on their own, y'all know how it is. It is amazing how kids, they start off on your knee, and what did Big Mama say? She was right. They end up on your heart. You know, they're not in your house, so it's not like you can make them keep curfew. They're driving their own car. They're paying their own bills. That's when kids are really grown, when they're paying their own bills. And all that you have to go off of is this, that the word of God that you planted in them will see them through, that they will turn from, if you would, the ways of secular society and turn to God. Train a child up in the way in which he or she should go, and when they get older, they will not depart from that. Jesus says, I have given them the word. As a parent, as a guardian, as a friend, as a mentor, as a helper, as a confidant, as a counselor, all that you can give to people who come to you for advice, come to you for counsel, come to you for guidance, all that you can give to them, listen to me, is the word. I appreciate it. I love Oprah. She's, amen, God bless her. Dr. Phil, you know, way to go, brother. Steve Harvey, high five. But if you really want to give people something that's going to help them, that's going to keep them from generation to generation, it's the word of God. It is the gospel, the gospel which has been made free to us, amen, through Jesus Christ, given access to the good news, given access to eternal life, given access to life, amen, immortal, is through Christ Jesus. He says, Lord God, Father, I have given them thy word. And then he says, the world hath hated them. Why? They hated them. Why, y'all? Because of the truth. I've learned that, you know, the truth will make you free, and truth will also make you the enemy of liars. It will make you the enemy of those who just have it in their heart to do the wrong thing. You know, people really It goes back to that movie. A few good men, where sitting there on that judgment bar in the witness stand, rather, here you have the actor saying, and his name escapes me right now, Jack Nicholson. There it is. And Jack Nicholson keeps getting hammered by Tom Cruise, hammered with these questions. And then finally, the character says, "You cannot handle the truth." Well, y'all know what? It's a whole lot of people who cannot handle the truth. I mean, we're living it right now. You're going to be watching this. You're going to be experiencing this on Inauguration Day. And because individuals are having problems with the truth, we can't even have a normal Inauguration Day. Well, it wasn't going to be normal anyway because of the pandemic. And I'm not going to hang here long, but I will say that the truth will make you free, and the truth will also make you the enemy of liars, the enemy of gossip, the enemy. It will. But you've got to be willing to stand on the truth that is the Word of God. I gave them the truth, and God, since I've given them the truth, the world does not like them. As a matter of fact, he says the world hates them. Knowing the truth of God, knowing the truth about God, it is a great blessing. But then at the same time, as the commentator says, it comes at a great cost. Hello. You know, one of the things that I love about seasoned saints, and really I was brought up by my grandparents, my paternal and my maternal. I mean, so my sister and I, and really plural, we were, and my little brothers as well, we were brought up in the company of seasoned saints. And let me tell you something that I love about seasoned saints. Seasoned saints, once you get a certain age, you don't care how people are going to take the truth. I mean, you just say it. You just bold-faced say it, and then you'll have the younger generation saying, "Mama, don't say that." Or Big Mama, and then Big Mama might say, using an expletive, might say, "Well, it's the truth." Hello, somebody. You know, the truth just boggles people's mind, but the truth comes at a great cost. In the United States of America, we are blessed with freedom of religious expression. Now, Christians, you got to understand that just doesn't mean Christian religious expression. That means Muslim religious expression, Buddhist religious expression. That means tree worship, you know, religious expression. But if you go to another country, if you go to China, you go to Russia, you go to other places in the world, parts of Africa, you go there, you will be persecuted for your faith, for your belief in Jesus Christ. We don't really know persecution like people who are alive today. I mean, like right now, who know real persecution. North Korea, that's real persecution. If you don't worship Kim Jong-un, then you will find yourself slaughtered, dead. Hello, you will be missing. You'll go missing. But still, Christianity is practiced even in those countries, but it is underground. We need to learn how to appreciate the fact that we get to worship Christ. Now, I do know that there are haters around. I understand that. I do know that there are people who, you know, they broad brush you, you know, because you are Christian. I mean, listen, I got that. I was hearing that all the time on the campaign trail. And really, I wasn't bothered by it. What I was saying to people is, it is because of my faith that I am bound to treat you right, treat you like a human being, whether you are red, yellow, black, white, whether you are straight or gay, or whatever the deal is. If I take an oath to serve and to protect the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this state, I recognize that in my capacity as a public official, I cannot discriminate against you. You're going to be bothered, though, when I break out the Word of God on you. Hello, somebody, when you cross over up over here, and then I say to you, let me help you understand what's higher than that, and that is the Word of God. And then when I give it to you, you ain't gonna like me. And hello. And you know, it's amazing how people are fine with the truth as long as it's not applying to them. But when it starts applying to them, then you get a little hate. Oh yeah, you get some pushback. It's just going to be that way. And then he says in the third part of verse number 14, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. When we become Christians, when we are intimately connected to our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, Brothers and sisters, you got to understand, y'all, that our identification causes us to be separated from this world because they are not of this world. In other words, our value system is different from a secular value system. It's not, I said it in the sermon the other day, you know, it's not, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. And again, you know, I know what that means, you know, and a whole lot of folk listening to that commercial don't know what that means, but I've got some 50, 60, 70 year olds out there. Y'all know what that song says and you know what that song means. I can't tell you who to sock it to. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? You know, now a whole lot of folks that's lost on them, but you need to know that as a Christian, it's not your thing. As a Christian, you can't do what you want to do. As a child of God, you are ordered by God, by God's words, to live a certain kind of life. I cannot be preaching fire and brimstone on Sunday, then going home and beating Lisa all up and down. And probably that ain't going to happen because when I go to sleep, the sister would probably do away with me. You understand what I'm saying? You cannot live a double life and say that you're a child of God. I'm not saying that I walk on water. I'm not saying that I've got wings underneath my coat. What I am saying is that when I do wrong, it ought to at least bother my conscience. If I mistreat somebody, I ought to at least have that person on my mind, and it won't get right until I go back and correct whatever it is or seek forgiveness for whatever it is I did, because we are not of this world. You be very careful if you're running in a group of people who can cuss folk out, who can mistreat people, who can lie, who can cheat, who can steal, who can do underhanded things, and it don't bother them. Because if it don't bother them, then it means that they have adopted the practice of the little G God, Satan, of this world. And I'm going to let that alone. I want that to just sink in to your psyche. If you can be nasty and profane and it don't bother you, you better check your affiliation. Amen. Verse number 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Amen. Jesus says it's not time for them to come and go with me. Amen. Come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land. Amen. Come and go with me to that land where I'm bound. Amen. There was a little boy one Sunday. Bless his heart. Little boy one Sunday, you know, was sitting pretty close to where I could see him. And I remember, boy, the word just was in me, and the Holy Spirit, I felt it just all over me. And I started asking the question. I said, who's ready to go see Jesus right now? Boy, and the folk got to hollering, yeah. I say yes, if you want to go see him right now. Yeah. The little boy, the more I said that, the more that little boy started looking down and all around. Little boy, he's about 12. He would not raise his hand. So I remember, and y'all remember, y'all know how we do here at Bethlehem. We're going to do it again when this pandemic is over. I stand there and I shake everybody's hand, and the little boy came around, and bless his heart, he was acting shy. He was acting kind of shame. And I say, hey, brother, you know how I treat little kids. I say, hey, brother, how you doing? I say, baby, what's the matter with you? He say, Pastor, you was asking if people wanted to see Jesus. I say, yeah, man, don't you want to see Jesus? He say, yeah, but not today. Amen. That's usually the way that it is, y'all. Jesus is saying in verse number 15, they can't go with me. Because this was Thursday. Jesus was talking to them on that Thursday night, the night in which he was going to be betrayed. Jesus says, I need for them to stay in the game. That's a word. Listen, if you are listening to me right now, when it gets hot, when it seems like the people in your circle that God has called you to minister to them, that they're not acting right, that you've got some nastiness, nice/nasty. You got that working. You got people not treating you right. You've got a situation where you thought everything was just hunky dory, and you come to discover that it's not just hunky dory, and that you're going to have some bad weeks. You're going to have some bad months. You're going to even listen to me. If you've been called by God, I need to go and tell you right now, you will have some bad years, but in that there'll still be some blessed years. But too many of us want to jump. Too many of us want to jump ship. Too many of us want to leave. Too many of us want to stop serving in that ministry. Too many of us want to stop going to brotherhood, stop singing in the choir, stop missing a women's meeting when they meet, stop preaching. I mean preaching. I mean just stop preaching and pastoring. I mean stop teaching. I mean just say, you know what? You say, all of them down there's a bunch of hypocrites, devils, and hellions. I'm out. Jesus says in verse number 15, you don't get to be out. Jesus says, I prayed that you will be able to hang on in there even when it gets bad. Amen. We're talking in the 21st century. It's a whole lot of people who jump out. I mean, we marriage, you know, we had a bad week, bad month, you know, bad 3-4 months, a bad 5-6 months, a bad 8-9 months. We figure we need to get a divorce. Hello, somebody. I wish you call up somebody who's been married like 50 something years. Call them up and ask them, how in the world did they stay married 50 years, 60 years? Call them and ask them. Now, you're in good shape because there's not that many of them. So call them and they're going to tell you that they had some bad years. They're going to tell you that they've had some terrible day. They might even tell you that they had some showing up duking going on. You understand? And I'm not advocating that. Don't be hitting each other. I ain't said that. What I'm saying is every day is not going to be rosy just because you've been called into the ministry. And don't be telling me that you've been called to preach and you're not called to serve. See, because you called to serve first. The power in your sermon comes from the service that you render throughout the course of your week. Amen. Amen. If you haven't done anything, all you're doing is you're just an orator at preaching time. But if you ain't prayed for somebody, if you haven't gotten down on your knees, amen, and cried with somebody that week, if you haven't bent over and tried to help anybody, you ain't got nothing to preach about. Amen. Pardon my grammar. But I am saying to you right now that he said, Lord, don't take them out of the world. But what I want you to do is circle this, y'all. Keep them. Hello, somebody. I want you to keep Michael Evans. I want you to keep Marcus Wilson. I want you to keep Carrie Thompson. I want you to keep Mary Eugene. I want you to keep Lisa Evans. I want you to keep Tamiko Jones. I want you to keep them because they're going to catch hell in life and recognizing that they're going to catch it. God, keep them. As a matter of fact, give them a fire suit so that they can run through hell and be all right, because there will be times when you're going to need God to put a fire suit on you and you're not going to be able to go around your issue. You're going to have to go through your issue because you will not be who you need to be until you caught some mess. Amen. There is no way that I would be able to pastor the Bethlehem Church in 2021 if I had the thin skin that I had in 1993. Are you understanding me? See, because I was a kid. I was a Lord. I thank God. Listen, losing Brother Lawson from this side is heaven's gain. But you better hear me when I say that brother was my cover. You understand me? Willie O. Lawson was my cover. And I didn't figure that out until 20 years later. God will keep you, and you don't even know that you're being kept. You might be catching it in your family. I've learned that the harder and that the more you serve, the more, boy, and I'm not cussing tonight, and you know, I'm not cussing anybody, but the harder you serve initially will be the more hell you will catch. Pastor Evans is not cussing. Hell is in the Bible. I'm not being profane. I'm just being honest with you. I'm being truthful with you. Amen. I'm talking to young ministers right now. I'm talking to some old ministers. I'm talking to young teachers right now. I'm talking to prayer warriors right now. Don't you know those individuals who are who's the arm, those individuals who serve as the engine, those individuals who do a lot of the work around the church are the people that's carrying the bigger burdens of life. And that's why he says, listen, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. And when his yoke, and knowing that his yoke is easy, your burdens will be light, because it's a trade-off. Amen. It's a trade-off that takes place, lest I be too long. You want God to keep you, amen, from evil. Don't stop quitting. Stop running away. Stop running off. There was a whole lot of things that I said that I wasn't going to put up with and I wasn't going to do. But that was a lie. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit did not give me release. And when the Holy Spirit doesn't give you release, God is telling you, saying to you, you've got to stay in the game. Amen. You got to stay in the game. I was looking at the football game and I'm going to move on. Stacy Golden going to get mad. And I know she's getting ready to text me. She and Teresa Carson and Deborah Thomas. But I was watching Kansas City and I was pulling. I'm pulling for Kansas City. I was pulling for him. And man, I saw Patrick take a hit and that brother got up staggering like somebody punched him in the nose. And I say, oh, they in trouble now. But you know, back in the day, that young brook would have been able to run back out on the field. See, but now they have this concussion protocol. They don't let you just run back out there like that. They're trying to protect your brain. But here's the thing. God is just the opposite, babe. Amen. You get punched. You get bruised. You get battered. You get talked about. You catch it at the house. You catch it on your job. You catch it in your immediate family. Your brothers and sisters might be acting a fool. You don't have anywhere else to turn to but to your secret closet. I want you to understand God is saying to you, get back out there. Amen. Because Jesus prayed for you. He prayed for us. He prayed for us. Why? Because they are not, hallelujah, verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus gives to us through this prayer a larger point. The point is that when we've been born again, we are no longer, amen, we are no longer citizens of this world. We are weary travelers passing through. We are on our way home. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why I get a little anxious. I get a little anxious, y'all. The older that I get more anxious because I want to do all that I can while I can. I want to do all that I can. I'm even getting to the place to where I don't even watch as much TV. I want to read something. I want to do all that I can as I get toward the goalpost to give God my everything. Because life is too short, and I recognize that I am not a citizen of this world. I recognize, listen, for every child of God listening right now, you are an ambassador for Christ. In other words, you belong somewhere else. Hallelujah. You belong somewhere else, but God has planted you where you are right now. And while you are there, you are an emissary for the Lord. Amen. You are an emissary for the Lord. And as long as you are where you are, you ought to be a beacon light. Amen. And not your light, but it's the light of Christ that's shining through you. Lord, they are not of this world. Amen. Brother, sister, the reason why people treat you like they treat you, because you are not of this world. And watch him. He says, sanctify them. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Stay in God's word. God's word is going to separate you from the world. God's word is going to separate you from. Listen, you don't have to go around with crosses tattooed to your forehead. You don't have to go around with big old Bibles. Now, mine's getting bigger because I'm needing a print to get bigger the older I get. So it's not because I'm trying to show you how super sanctified I am. But what you need to understand is that when you've been born again, number one, that's your initial sanctification. When you've been born again, he is setting you apart from the world. Watch this. But sanctification also, part two, is progressive. In other words, you ought to get better every day. Once you have been born again, you ought to be taking intentional steps. You ought to be doing things intentionally that places you now, amen, far away from your old lifestyle. You start practicing, and I really mean you rehearsing. You rehearsing waking up in the morning telling God thank you. And then from that, you ought to grow into a full-blown prayer in the morning. You're rehearsing by reading at least one scripture verse in the morning. And then later on, that ought to grow into you reading an entire passage in the morning and riding with that. You are rehearsing. Instead of cussing folk, you learning other words. God dog, you're learning other words. Oh, golly gee, you're learning other words rather than some of the words that you will say. You know, you're saying, the Lord is my shepherd rather than some other stuff that you would normally say. Rather than profanity, you're taking and you're sanctifying your tongue. You're taking and sanctifying your mind. You are purposely, you are intentionally causing yourself to do something different in order to be separated from the way that you used to be. Jesus says, sanctify them through. Hallelujah. Jesus is the truth, y'all. You understand that? Jesus is the truth. And even with them, he was the truth. He was the truth. He is the truth right now. He was the truth with them. He's our truth today. And we have been set apart from the world based upon our belief in Christ Jesus and our leaning and dependence upon the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Gets the old boy excited. Here, verse number 18 says, and thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Amen. The pre-historic, we talk about the historical Jesus, meaning the Jesus of flesh and blood, the Jesus who walked in the same space in footsteps of humanity. Jesus says, you sent me. In other words, hello, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. It is important to know when John says that in chapter 1, when John's talking about the Word, he's talking about the Logos. Jesus is the Logos. Pre-creation. Hello, somebody, because Jesus is not a created being. He was not created. Jesus exists. Jesus is the progenitor. He's before everything. Are you with me? Because Jesus, God, wrapped in flesh, Holy Spirit, pneuma, breath of God. You sent me here. There was no other who would go. You sent me here. Nobody else was able to carry the load, the burden of humanity. You sent me here. And just like you sent me into the world, now I send them into the world. Amen. Meaning that God, hello somebody, the Father, through Christ, wrapped in flesh, came down with a mission. Now Jesus, as he prepares for his departure, he passes on the mission. Apostle literally means one who is sent. Amen. And that there are people that go back and forth on, are there any apostles today? People call themselves apostles. This is not the lesson to get into that. But I want you to know that the term apostle means one sent. Amen. So here you hear Jesus saying, I'm sending them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Jesus is saying that for their sakes, hello, he was the chief and the prime example for their sakes. Christ being God incarnate, God wrapped in flesh, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. See, we got to understand that we always have people watching us. Amen. I say this every other week, and you ought to be tired of hearing me say this, but be mindful of the fact that people will read us. They will read us before they read the Word of God. Jesus is quoted over and over again saying, me and the Father are one. When you see me, you see the Father. Hello, I am sanctified. I am set apart from this world. I don't act like other people act. I don't do what other people do because, amen, he is exemplifying for them and exemplifying for us how we ought to carry our lives, and we ought to be sanctified through the truth. That doesn't mean you won't cry sometime. That don't mean that people won't mistreat you. That they will. They will. But your behavior, your living, your lifestyle is just that. It is on display. Verse number 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Oh, that's us. That's us, y'all. That's us. Neither pray I just for them, But not just these my disciples, not just the ones I'm looking at, not just the ones who I can lay my hands on, but for them who's on the way, that's us. Amen. Jesus prayed for me. He prayed for you. Jesus prayed. We are existing. We are living. We are thriving off of the prayers. Hello, prayed, if you would, by Jesus, through Jesus, on the way to Calvary. He prayed for them. He prays for us. How many of you know? I know I can't see you, but how many of you know, bless your heart, that you are living off of somebody else's prayers? I'm waving. As a matter of fact, let me just do this. I already know that before I had sense enough to pray and ask God to keep me and ask God to protect me, I keep telling y'all, I would hear my great-grandmother pray out loud. And my great-grandmother, when she prayed out loud, as a matter of fact, we'd have to get down on side of the bed with her. And yes, sir, boys, it's make you want to cry. But we get down and mama would be praying. And I didn't even understand why she was praying as hard as she prayed. Oh, Lord. But I figured it out now. I've gotten old enough to know why she prayed like she prayed, because we didn't know what was up ahead. Yes, sir. And they didn't know what was up ahead, but Jesus knew what was up ahead. Oh, you're listening to me today, and I'm going to get all right. I'm sorry, but let me help you understand something. When you pray for your kids, yeah, they don't know what's up ahead, but you keep on praying because you know what that old devil might try to do. You know about the roadblocks that might be up there. You know about the trouble that they can get into. But I dare you, in the name of Jesus, do like him. Jesus said, I'm praying for them. I'm praying for them which shall believe on me through their word. Look here. I couldn't explain why mama would get happy on a Sunday. All I didn't want her to do was to embarrass me. But I understood that as a child, I know now, 54, looking back, that mama didn't care about embarrassing me. See, because that was a story behind her praise. That was a story behind her shout. Now here I am. Yes, sir. Yeah, 54 years old. And when I cry like I cry and I shout like I shout, I tell you what, it ain't because I'm performing. There's a story. I'm supposed to be teaching, Michael. You're supposed to be teaching. You can go on to preach. There's a story behind our praise. Look here, every time. Yes, sir. You're able to wake up in the morning and you're able to look. You're able to know your name and you're able to heave and can breathe on your own. Something sure did hurt me this past Saturday. We had a home going and I saw my father in the ministry walk in, and he had a breathing apparatus on him, and they had to plug it up to the wall. That did something to me. You ain't hearing me. That did some life, y'all. You don't know what tomorrow's gonna bring. Hey, but if you just pray now. Yes, and I'm praying healing for my papa in the ministry, F.D. Lawson. I'm praying healing there. I'm praying healing there. But as I stand here now, the hospitals in Mansfield, Texas, are all full. Think I'm lying? Check the newspaper. Check the internet. They are full. But I ain't in their bed. Hello, somebody. I'm praying so that they may believe. And I'm praying for them who's going to believe based upon their word. When was the last time you just shared the word with somebody? Amen. Amen. I'm going too long. Let's come on in. Let's come on home. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. That they may be, Lord, I'm praying that these, it's 11 of them now because Judas about run off. But I'm praying that they will be together. Listen, y'all. And I'm not just talking about church folk. I'm talking about kinfolk. I'm talking about believers. Wherever you are, believers in Christ Jesus have been summoned by God and been obligated by God to be on one accord. Amen. Amen. If you ever want to run off somebody, just demonstrate disunity in their presence. Folks start acting a fool in the church. People who shouting and going on, cussing out folk on the phone, and you're getting on Facebook with some nasty mess. You're holding up your Crown Royal bottle. You in the choir. What you do? Hello, somebody. I'm saying to you that Jesus asked God to help them to be unified. Our strength is in unity. Let me tell y'all something. I've heard the reports. I've heard them of where you say they came up with this vaccine too quick. I heard that. Something got to be wrong. 6 million people have been vaccinated. Let me tell y'all why and how they were able to come up with this thing so quickly. Unity. When the world identifies a problem, and when people from all over the globe come together, y'all ain't heard of the Tower of Babel? The Bible says that the grandchildren of Noah, that they were building a tower, and they had it set in their minds that they were going to build all the way up to heaven. And the Bible says, it's in the Old Testament, God said, let me go down and confuse their speech, because when humanity gets together, they can do anything. Check it. And I'm going to trust Reverend Wilson to put that scripture reference in front of me so that y'all can go and check it out yourself. Listen to me, y'all. When we work together, men go to the moon. When we work together, you can't stop us. When the Holy Ghost is our adhesive, you can't stop a child of God. See, the devil's job is to confuse and to cause division. God is not in division. The fall of the Roman Empire came because of disunity. The fall of a city, disunity. The fall of a state, disunity. The fall of a nation, disunity. If you're not unified, keep them together. Second part of verse 21, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Because if we're together, that means we have the same message. That means we have the same motive and motivation. If you're together. I've seen that around here at the Bethlehem Church, y'all. I know what unity looks like at Bethlehem. And I also know what division looks like here, too. Anything we can do when there's division. Boy, but when the members of the Bethlehem Church get together, they build apartment complexes, pay off notes, build maybe even a new edifice, send money up the street to help build a clinic, feed almost 300 people every week. I know what unity looks like, and you do too. in your family. You know what unity looks like when y'all don't want to call. The devil deals in division. That's all I'm going to say. Ain't in your business. I'm just telling you what it is. 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. That glory, y'all, refers to God's divine nature and God's attributes. Jesus is saying that the same glory, gifts, miracles, the same thing that you worked in me, let's work it in them. So that the world will know that they are one. Work it out in them like you worked it out in me. And then the world will know that we are together. I heal you in the name of Jesus. Heal. Restore your sight in the name of Jesus. I can see. I pray healing over your house, and we remove depression in the name of Jesus. Go. Do it, God. Give them that divine, those divine attributes, that glory, so that they'll know that we are one. I in them, verse 23, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and has loved them as thou has loved me. Let me tell you something. He's talking about that unwavering commitment to their mission, to their assignment. God put that in them. Make them know. When he talks about perfect and perfection, he means fix it, God, so that they will not have need of anything. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. In other words, when they are together, when we're working together, everything that is needed will be in the house. You see that? So that they may be perfect, made perfect in one. Not different agendas. Not different agendas. One. Everything that you need. Right there in the fellowship of the saints together. Final verse, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, that thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Jesus had already made it clear that he's on his way to glory. John 14, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to prepare a place for you. The day will come when they too will leave this fallen world, and they will be with him. Father, I will. Father, my hope. Father, I'm asking you. Verse number 24. And I'm going to read it also from another verse. I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am. Give them this mind. Give them this level of commitment where I am. And Lord, I'm on my way. I'm coming back to glory. I want them to be there with me. I want them to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Reverend Nathaniel Wilson, and Deacon Herbert Shepherd used to sing a verse of a song where it says, I hope it won't be this way. I hope it won't be this way. I hope it won't be this way always. I hope it won't be this way. Lord, I cried all night and all day. I hope it won't be this way always. Lord, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, can be with me where I am. Help them to know that they won't always be hated, misused, martyred, abused, taken for granted. Fix it, Lord. Help them to stand in that gap, Lord. One of these old days, I'm going to relieve them of duty, and they'll get to be up there with me. Stay in the fight. Don't leave the game. Do all that you can to save your marriage. Do all that you can to fight for your children's salvation. It's up to them. It's up to that spouse. It's up to those grown kids to want to do right. I got that. But don't you drop out the game. Hang on in there. Watch God work it out. He's going to work it out one way or the other. Stand in the gap. Trust him. And amen. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your love. Thank you for the power that is in your word. Guide us and help us to know that Jesus has already, you, Lord, have already prayed for us. And we're going to be all right. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. See you next week. God bless you. God keep you as I pray.